B-Pod Studios.
It's an app.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey.
Lovely weather.
Oh, it's gross. Better than snow.
Oh, I disagree.
What?
I hate the sleet.
Oh, better ice than raw. Snow. Way better than snow.
I'd rather have a fluffy snow.
Hell no.
Ah. Nope. Don't care if it never snows another flake.
Really?
Doesn't bother me.
Take this.
I don't like
this
the middle.
Will be melted by midday.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing to worry about.
Your kids have delays?
Nope.
Your kids aren't in school, but I mean.
2 hour delay.
You already had a 2 hour delay. South of the city.
Really?
Yeah.
Nope. No delay in Quincy.
It could be as much about the people like getting in. Like the people who work there couldn't get in if they
That's
don't
true.
Live in the immediate area. I don't know. It's fine.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, he got in. And Fred made it on time today, so that's good.
Is that pitcher going to make it to Boston?
Yeah.
Is he going to get in today? Is he going to make it here? The latest on the Mookie Betts trade is that it's being held up. It's been put on pause. The health of the pitcher the Red Sox would be receiving in the deal, Brusdar Graterol.
They got Graterol. Adderall.
Bruiser
Graterol.
Adderall.
Graterol.
Bruiser.
Bruiser.
Brusdar Graterol.
Bruiser Adderall.
Yes, Bruiser Adderall. He is, oh, what do you know? Now, did we have any access to his medicals on this show yesterday?
I don't think you did, but I think you were all over it.
Did we have any access to those medicals?
Well, he did.
I said specifically yesterday on this very show.
This guy's going to blow his arm out.
I said, this guy's not a starter. He's a reliever.
Yeah.
And furthermore, he's got an arm problem that no one seems to want to recognize here in Boston. And yeah. So he's a reliever with a bad shoulder. Oh, what happens last night? The Red Sox discover he's a reliever with a bad shoulder, and they're surprised by the news. What are they surprised by?
They said he was fine.
Who said he was fine?
The Twins.
Not the Twins publicly.
Well,
the Twins publicly in May were saying that they had serious concern. I mean, they didn't say that privately. There wasn't a report. Those guys are on the record out there in Minnesota saying that they have serious concerns about his health going back to last May. We read the quotes yesterday.
Yep. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Didn't they go through this with Drew Pomeranz?
I'll read it to you again.
Years ago.
Derek Falvey, last May, the chief baseball officer of the Minnesota Twins. Anytime you have a shoulder injury in a young pitcher, you certainly have concern. Elbow and shoulder are the top two that pop up. I think the fact that he's felt some pain and it's more significant as of late, we definitely have some concern. That was last May. He's already had Tommy John surgery. He's got a shoulder impingement. He got shut down last year. And we look at him yesterday and say, oh, this guy's not going to be a starter. This guy's got reliever written all over him. He's a reliever with a shoulder problem. And then last night, Chaim Bloom figured that out for himself. I think Chaim should just listen to the show. We could have told him this long in advance of when he figured it out.
That's an easy one, right?
That's layup.
Guy throws smoke. He hovers at 100. His ball has movement. Gee, you're going to torque that shoulder. You're going to hurt that arm.
Doesn't have tremendous strikeout numbers for a guy that throws that hard. But no, please. This is what you got for Mookie. Congratulations.
Hey,
way to go.
Day one. You can't even get through 24. Really, you can't get through 24 hours without having a problem.
Awesome.
Or you talk about value. Now you're already devaluing the guy you're getting in return.
Great trade.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. Let's go Red Sox. Can't wait. Can't wait for 2020. They're off to a smashing start. Do they have a manager yet, by the way?
No.
Okay, just wanted to check. I'm going to check every day. I'm going to ask every day.
Doesn't Major League Baseball owe them the fact that they got to come down with some sort of a ruling here before spring training starts? That they're going to allow one of the highest-priced teams that they have, you know, the Boston Red Sox, go to spring training if they're investigating their so-called manager, maybe? If it's Ron Renicki being investigated.
If they're truly investigating it, though, it's not going to be done. But I don't think they're truly investigating it, so I'm with you. It'll probably get figured out in the next week.
Yeah, Friday at 5. They'll dump it Friday at 5. News dump.
Did they do that with the Astros? They did not.
No.
They did it early in the week. Or actually, I think it was... When did they come out with that? On a Wednesday? I think it was a Wednesday that happened.
After the holidays.
Yeah, I don't think it's a news dump. I don't think they have to dump it. Everyone knows it's coming.
That's true. But I mean, you report beginning of next week, right?
Why does it matter that the Red Sox are a big team in baseball? Like, that hasn't...
It's one of your better teams, man.
The Astros won the World Series.
Like, I think if the Cowboys are being investigated, or your Celtics or Lakers, like, you know, it's one of your better teams. Like, give them a heads up before they go into damn spring training so they can hire a manager.
Right.
It's important in that sport, right?
Well, yeah, less important now than it used to be, but it's still a factor for, you know.
See, we talked about.
Organizationally speaking, it's sort of a thing you should have.
Yeah, and we talked about this when we thought Cora was going to be suspended, whether it was going to be 50 games or whether you're going to whack him for the entire spring training. And we even said that, you know, spring training may be more critical in the damn games because that's where you get to learn about your team. That's where your team comes together. That's where you find out what kind of chemistry you're going to have. Yeah.
All right, here's Ken Rosenthal on what it is that has played out here in the last day between the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and the Twins.
With this magnitude, 10 players, 4 teams, lots of bodies going back and forth, it can get complicated. And what I reported late last night, is that the pitcher going from the Twins to the Dodgers to the Red Sox, Brizdar Graterol.
This is a high-end all-star pitcher.
He could be one day, but he has a shoulder issue that has given the Red Sox pause. Mm. And in the deal, they valued him as a starter. But now, after looking at his medicals, they see him perhaps like the Twins did, which is as a reliever, because of this shoulder thing that is not necessarily going to hold him back. If you remember, he was throwing 100 in the division series.
Nothing about the 100 in the sinker, maybe.
Exactly. But at the same time, sometimes the MRI shows something that may cause you to believe, okay, this guy's not a 150 to 175 inning guy just yet. You see his particulars right there. Everybody cares about the facts here. So what happens when a situation like this arises? And this is not that unusual. These situations often arise. What happens is, at times, these deals get restructured. And the Red Sox might very well ask for additional compensation, probably in the form of another player or a restructuring of some sort. Maybe money would be involved. Maybe they send less money to the Dodgers, although I don't really know how that would work, because this really is an issue, it appears to me, between the Red Sox and the Twins. Though, of course, it's all tied together. So, will this go through? Parties last night were confident that it would go through. They were actually talking late into the night, but it is not finalized yet. The players have not been notified yet because this situation is still kind of pending.
So what needs to happen here is the Twins have to give more to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have to then give more to the Red Sox. Isn't that how that has to work?
Yeah, because he went from Minnesota to L.A. to here. So, yeah, you would. The Dodgers would go to Minnesota.
Or the Twins send cash to the Red Sox.
Or how about we just pay 25% of David Price's salary
instead
of 50?
Good luck getting them to do that.
Yeah, we'll help you out. Sure.
Yeah, now the Red Sox are in an impossible position. They've done the deal. It's public. And now they're just coming out and figuring out that they're getting hosed on this pitcher. Hosed. Is that Harold Reynolds? That is Harold Reynolds,
Harold,
chirping in the background the entire time. He called him a all-star pitcher. Of 10 games of Major League service is now an all-star pitcher. Where the hell does that come from? Where'd you get that idea, Harold? All-star pitcher. Mm-hmm. He's pitched in 10 games, and he's got a shoulder problem. I don't know that I'd be stamping him with the all-star tag yet.
Brizdar Graterol.
This is a high-end all-star pitch.
He could
Since
be one
when?
Day, but he has a shoulder issue that is
high-end.
And Rosenthal's like, well, he could be. This is a high-end all-star pitcher. What? He's a kid. He's pitched in 10 games.
He's elite.
First round arm strength.
Oh, man. Ah, the Red Sox. Good job. Good job, Red Sox. This is a great, great trade.
Off to a good start.
Really nailed it. Yeah. Really, this just falls completely in line with the 2020 season. You don't think there's any shot this doesn't get done,
no,
right?
No.
I don't either. How do you not complete the trade now? There's no possible way that Mookie Betts ends up back here. None. Or David Price, for that matter. I know that some people, Jared Karabas, have sort of suggested, like, oh, wouldn't it be a shame if the deal fell apart and Mookie ended up... No, there's no way that happens.
No. No.
I don't think there's any way we see it go down. 617-779-0985. So if you got thoughts on the Mookie deal, I know we had a lot of calls yesterday. You want to continue with those calls, we could do that. 617-779-0985. Get some items on the Celtics today. The latest on Tom Brady watch. As that continues with more stories and more reports out there about what the Patriots may need to do to keep them, we've got all of that today. 617-779-0985. Join us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rolling down Imperial Highway. The big nasty bit out of my side.
Just, you know, to be clear, he's saying big, nasty redhead at my side. Is that what Randy Newman sings in that song?
I think so.
Big, nasty redhead at my side?
I think he's thinking of Gina Davis, right?
Like, no, she's like not Thelma nasty. Louise. No, she's sweet.
But she's big. She, but if she wants to get
tall,
nasty.
I'm gonna look that up right now.
Is that what Zoe just sang the lyric as?
No.
No, no.
That's what I think.
No, already said that's the answer.
I just walked in late.
I don't know what this song is.
With a big, nasty redhead at my side.
Confirmed.
Your first time hearing this song, Zoe?
It's my first time hearing this song, yes. What is this?
I Love L.A., Randy Newman.
Doesn't he do, like, cartoon stuff?
Yes, he does, like, Toy Story.
Yeah.
This was, like, the Lakers song of the 80s. All the Lakers montage
videos. What's the biggest Laker fan in the 80s? Yeah.
Celtics
this is
guy?
Awful.
Are you a Celtics guy?
Yeah, I like Johnny Mullis.
Pittsburgh Pisces?
I was a big Pittsburgh Pisces fan. With Dr. J, yeah. Fish and Save Pittsburgh.
Let's go to your call. Steve's in Lowell today. What's up, Steve?
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi.
I've been hearing some people talking about they would have bets if... He had offered or given a hometown discount. And I know this goes along with the whole the Brady thing as well. And I used to side with, you know, the players. But now I'm thinking, why should anybody give a hometown discount when the funds are being mismanaged? Like you signed Eovaldi and Sale to those crazy contracts that you're now not
getting. No, that's fair to criticize that.
Yeah. And the same with Brady. Why should he give a discount when the money he's leaving on the table aren't giving him? They aren't buying the guys that are paying for receivers that he can support that support him. So the heck with the offering the hometown discount. Take the money and run if you're going to have your organization mismanagement those funds. I'll hang up and let you guys.
Okay, Steve.
That.
I've heard from a few people, Jim Louth and Felger, that Mookie can't say, like Mookie could have gotten a deal done if he wanted to. We talked about it yesterday. We fought about it yesterday. Like he could have, if he wanted to take less than what he was worth on the market, he could have gotten a deal done so that he's therefore like not allowed to say that he wanted to stay in Boston or after the fact, he can't tell Jim Rice, like that was my home. I didn't want to leave. it's out of my control. And that's the line we got caught up on when he said it's out of my control. It is out of his control.
I mean,
unless he wants to take less.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
be Bogarts. He's not Bogarts. He's different than Bogarts.
That's unfair to put on Betts, if you ask me.
Betts is a premier player. Those guys are different. And in the Brady comparison, I don't know if it works because there's a salary cap there. Like, if they wanted to spend and go over, you could do that in baseball. Can't do that in football. You know, I mean, you could hide money. You could move money around. But the fact that Brady takes all this less, I mean, we did this with Eli Manning. You look at the top dollars earned by these quarterbacks. Brady's up there in the top three. He does make money. So I don't know if you could compare it to Betts. I don't know if you could compare Brady to Betts.
I don't think they're a good comp.
It's not, because baseball's different than football. Those guys, they go to market. And then when you go to free agency, you never come back. Football, you could hit free agency like Hightower, like McCourty, and end up coming back for a little bit less because you like it here. Never happens really in baseball, does it?
Some players are able to say, I want to stay here and I want to get paid, and they do. Mike Trout is that example. Some other players
take care of him.
Say, I want to get paid and I'll take the absolute last dollar to do it. And the thing is, with the Red Sox offer, they're not even in the ballpark. They're not. They're not in the ballpark of what he's going to end up getting. If they were, I think you could make a case. If you're saying, hey, one offer is $375 and the other one's $395, well, that's not a huge, massive gap. I know $20 million is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
But in the overall grand scheme of your career, if you really wanted to play one place versus another, you would probably take the $375.
Yeah. You want to take $375 and play down in Miami? You want to take $390 and go to Alaska?
But if you're going to be flirting with $400 on the market and the team's offering you $300, I'm sorry, that's too big of a gap to put it back on the player and say, oh, you know, you had the chance to stay. Well, not without taking a massive cut that the team will then just put back in their pocket or waste on other players, as the caller is saying.
We said that.
What would you pay him, Beto?
What would I pay Mookie Betts?
What would you pay him, and how many years would you give him?
I would give him 10 years.
We did this yesterday.
I would give him 10 years, and I think $350 for 10 years is a really good contract for Mookie Betts, and it's what the Red Sox should be willing to pay. And I would probably go as high as like 11 and 375 if you had to split the years too. But I hate doing anything more than 10 years. But if it were maxing out, like, I would go a little higher and be in that 375 range and say, listen, if we're doing another extra year, we're tacking on another year, we're not doing it at 35. We'll throw you another $25 million over the course of this deal. Yeah, we can do that. Because $25 million 11 years from now is not going to be that big of a salary in baseball. It's not going to break your team. It isn't. These are the guys that don't mind wasting. Listen, I'm not telling you those are all good years at the end. But these are the guys you don't mind wasting the money on. I know people like to rip on the Pedroia contract a little bit. At least with Pedroia, when you signed him, he was a good player.
Yeah.
I mean, I hated that deal from the start. So I'm the wrong person to make that argument.
But it was player that he was, it was a good deal. It was good money. He did give a bit of a discount.
It felt a little unnecessary when they did it, but whatever.
But you felt that attachment to that player. That's like the stuff we talked about. I mean, he the natural leadership ability of him, his grit, his balls.
Just look
like
at the team right now.
Is
it Dustin Pedroia's money that's ruining the Red Sox?
Nope.
No. It's actually the money of the guys who are still here and still playing that is ruining the Red Sox right now. Or it's the really bad signings like a Pablo Sandoval that you just say, that was a horrible mistake from the get-go.
That's like Evaldi, say Price would stay, Evaldi, Price, and Celtic up over $80 million of your cap. $80 million of your salary as a team. So, I mean, you got three players making over $80 million. That's your problem.
Yeah. Bob is in Newton. Hey, Bob.
How you doing, fellas?
Hi.
Listen, I was just wondering this. Did you ever really think, like, for me, I think Mookie Betts doesn't want to play here.
Why?
Well, I think he doesn't want to play here because, I'll give you an example. You sign a big contract here. Now you hit 265 and 15 homers and 80 RBIs. You guys, media, everybody here, savages the guy so much. Mm. Maybe he doesn't want to raise a family here and have his kids listen to that.
I don't understand your hypothetical. None of this stuff has happened with Mookie Betts. Why don't you think Mookie Betts wanted to play here?
I don't think he likes the atmosphere, the culture.
When did he say that?
He's a Southern guy, isn't he? Isn't he from down south?
He's from Tennessee.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you guys can't understand it, but people left from down there don't exactly appreciate the culture up here a lot.
A lot of culture.
I don't know how. Yeah, I don't understand how people. Well,
so maybe you should go play in Philly. They got a lot of culture there.
So
well, ever listen to your show and hear some of the awful things you say about these athletes?
What have we said about Mookie Betts and his awful?
So I you got a lot of conjecture there.
Why? Because we killed David Price and deservedly so.
So what the caller is saying is Mookie Betts is a liar.
Yeah, no, or Jim Rice is a liar, too.
Well,
yeah.
No, that Mookie Betts is really the liar. Jim Rice is just the messenger.
He's conveying the message.
I don't think Jim Rice is lying even a little bit about what Mookie Betts told him in private.
Right.
So now we know that Mookie Betts on the record has been emphatic, as he was last August again, in saying that he loved Boston. That's his word, loved. That he loved Boston. He said that in August, and everyone dismissed him. For what reasons, I don't know. And then in private to Jim Rice, even within the last couple of days, he has reiterated that in private, not publicly, to Jim Rice, who honestly, I think by chance, went on MLB Network Radio and shared that because Betts and Rice are sort of close. They have a relationship.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, sure, you want to call Mookie Betts a liar, and yet at the same time say we say all the awful things about Mookie Betts. I haven't said I don't know what I've ever said bad about Mookie Betts.
You give 12 years and $400 million. I'm sure Mookie Betts would continue to love Boston.
And I tell you, it's not out of the question that he's said all these things.
Nice Southern from down south
as a means to just be nice and try and say the right things. And like maybe he doesn't love it here. That's fine. Did the Red Sox even do their due diligence in finding out? Well, let's see if he really wants to leave, because I wouldn't begrudge a guy, a young guy who is going to make a lot of money somewhere and he wants to go. Is it the worst thing in the world for a player to want to go make that money in a place where it doesn't snow and maybe people, they like baseball, but they don't live and breathe it, and you're not going to have to hear about it every time you go 1-for-4 or God forbid you go 0-for-4 a couple few games in a row and you have to hear about it all the time. No, not out of the question. The question is, did the Red Sox take it to the end of the story and do everything they could to really find out, really take his temperature on that? How much of this is you want to hit free agency and get top dollar somewhere else, or how much is there any part of this where you just don't want to stay in Boston anymore? I don't think the caller is completely out of line in suggesting that maybe Mookie wanted to play somewhere else. I just don't think the Red Sox did enough to find out.
Yeah.
They traded him.
It's almost like they know where the line is, and we're only going to go to 80% of that line, so it looks like we're attempting to sign the player. You remember like when Walker left? Like, oh, well, there was actually more money here if he stayed. No, there really wasn't. That's why he went.
You can't base Mookie's rejection of the contract as some sort of proof that he didn't want to be here. That is laughable.
No, that's the first two offers that are out there. The Red Sox offer, you offer, and then you start going back and forth. There were two that we know of. That's it. That's not a negotiation. That's, we'll give you this. I want this.
Well, they weren't going to be too far apart.
What are you talking about? It happens all the time. And players, every single day in every single sport, you start on two ends, and then you meet somewhere in the middle. They didn't do that. Red Sox, nah.
Because they didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to pay him.
They started telling you that this past year. We got to get under. You can't do it with him. You can't sign him and stay under that 208.
Can't do it.
Maybe they just don't like 10-year deals, and they don't like the idea of spending $350 or $400 million on a player. Maybe that's not something they want to do. But their PR after the fact to try and swing it back and put it on the player and what they've done to this guy for the last year, keep floating this idea that some of you have obviously bought in on, that he didn't want to be here. I mean, that to me is shameful.
Because of the awful things that the media says.
Usually the Red Sox
didn't want to be here at that price.
Yeah, usually the Red Sox.
Can you agree with that? He didn't want to be here at that price. That's all.
Yeah. No. That's not what people are saying.
No, I know. I'm just
saying. People are saying he didn't want to be here. He didn't want to be in Boston. That caller said he didn't want to be here because he doesn't like this town. He doesn't want to be here.
Can we just simplify and say he didn't want to be here at their office?
No, I'm not simplifying anything or clarifying anything when we've repeatedly heard from callers who've said he just didn't want to be here. he had wanted nothing to do with the Red Sox, and that even if they had given him a reasonable offer, he was going to reject it and walk out the door and hit free agency because he didn't want to be a member of the Red Sox. So that's not what you're saying is not what's being said.
No, I know. I'm saying,
okay,
just, so if you then, just add that to everybody's call, just be like, at that price, he didn't want to be here. You can just add that in, that he thought he was getting lowballed. That's why he doesn't want to be here. Not because he doesn't like the city.
Yeah, but
everybody's going to look at it.
I haven't heard
everything.
Anything about it because it was lowballed. All I keep hearing is he didn't like Boston, didn't want to play for this team.
It's not a good fit for him. Yeah, just that detachment. Hey, are fans were they more upset than John Lester? You know, when they screwed up the Lester deal, it seems to me like fans are more pissed off then than they are now. You see all these articles.
Well, that was not a $300 million offer.
I know
that was an embarrassing offer.
Yeah.
That was completely cheap. Embarrassing. Like, the Red Sox offering, if they offered the full 300, is not embarrassing, but it's just not what he's going to get.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a lot less likely to call a $300 million offer an embarrassment to the Red Sox. What they offered John Lester was shameful.
I mean, whether it's Pete, it's Buckley, or Shaughnessy, or all these guys covering the team, like the fans are pissed. You don't really hear it. I don't hear the pissed off that was to level of Lester. Then I know it's different player, different money. But it's just accepting the inevitable. You didn't accept the inevitable with Lester. It's a different feeling.
NBA trade deadline is happening today. An update on the Celtics and more of your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
The front office is the one that's talking to everybody and coming up with ideas based on things that we've all talked about all year long. But obviously, they lead the charge, lead the way, and then they really don't approach me much until something would be down the road. You know, I don't anticipate major change with this team. And I said this in the media scrum earlier, the only thing that I think we would do, or the only reason we would do something, is to improve ourselves, right? And so that's a good situation to be in. If we do something, that will be what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to accomplish.
Brad Stevens yesterday right here on Zolak and Bertrand. I don't think they're doing anything.
Nah, they like this team. Team likes each other.
I mean, that's not a good reason not to do a deal.
No, I agree with that.
And when I asked him that question, I followed up with the, feels like you guys like this team, which they do, not players liking each other. Brad, Danny, front office people, they like the team that they've assembled. I think we all know that their need of a big man has been there all year long, right? It's also, we've been talking about it since the start of the season, since the offseason.
Yeah.
Once they lost Aaron Baines, we started talking about that. I don't think they're going to fix it. I think they're going to roll with what they have.
Yeah.
And they're going to watch other teams get better.
They're going to pray for health.
And they're going to hope for everybody being on the court together. Now, that is not an illegitimate thing. I mean, we've talked to Brad Stevens about it. How many games have you had this season where your entire roster has been on the court together and you have the full complement of players available to you? It has been a small number of games that has been the case. So it's not wrong of them to say, hey, we want to see what this looks like with everybody healthy. I don't think that's bad, but I think other teams are going to get better, and I think them not doing anything at the deadline, I'm already getting them in trouble for something they haven't done. They will talk about health, and I also think it sort of falls in line with what this season is. It's a nice season. It's a nice team. We all like them. It's a good group, fun group to watch.
They go out to dinners with each other.
They're winning games, and at the end, you're ultimately going to be left disappointed. That's how I feel about this Celtics team.
Are you disappointed if the expectations aren't there to begin with, though?
No.
No. You're right. Not disappointed in the context of just the season, like, oh, they fell short. No. Just disappointed that the build of the Boston Celtics is not further along. That's all.
I think they can only, unless they lose in the first round, they can only do either what you expected or more.
But if they're completely healthy,
it's one of those weird seasons where, like, they win two rounds and make it to the conference finals, like, whoa, look at this.
Yeah, I'm with Jim, because my expectations were them to fall short of what they did last year. And even though last year was a real disappointment based on what they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to be with Kyrie and Gordon back in there and playing together and all that stuff, I said, Horford gone,
I agree with you guys.
To get totally,
we changed you like that.
Yeah, you know,
like the Celtics, we're all together.
No, because you got to remember how we all felt in the fall.
Hold on, no, but you're talking about what were your expectations for the team, and I agree with you guys.
Are they a contender to you?
No.
See, I don't think so either.
No, they're not a contender. No, and so that to me is the disappointing part. The bigger picture. This decade,
you'd like to see him pop
coach,
some money, though. That's
this GM, like the big picture to me. It's a little disappointing where the Celtics are at. I thought they'd be by this time, like 3 or 4 years ago. We thought they'd be back in the mix, competing for it all, and they're not.
But
in terms of the season itself, Jim Hardy, I'm with you. They win the first round. Yay!
By the way, wait for this coming tomorrow. If they don't make a move today, well. You're like, Robert Williams is actually their trade deadline acquisition because he's coming back from injury.
Oh, I'm not doing that. No,
but that's going to happen. You know it's
going to
happen.
Yeah, I agree. Because that's what they're going to talk about, right? So,
yeah, how'd that shot in the arm of Nikhil Harry coming off IR? How'd that help you?
We're a better team. We're a better team after the deadline because we're healthy. And you know what?
We're getting that guy back.
There is truth in that. If they do get healthy, they will be a better team. I agree with that. It's not wrong to say it.
For fans to be excited about Danny making a move, it would have to be a massive move, and the money would have to match. And it wouldn't match because you'd have to be giving up a big player like a Gordon Hayward to go get somebody huge.
He doesn't want to trade any of his top five.
And a bench piece. Right. No,
he doesn't want to trade any of his top five.
I have zero expectations that he's going to do anything. Because what are you going to do, end a bench guy? And how's that going to really help you? I mean, at that point, ride with what you have. You know, pray you get hot at the end of the year. Pray for health and see what the hell happens. Look at the stuff coming out of Philadelphia. So Horford saying, "We got talent. Something ain't right in this locker room."
I saw those comments.
I was like, "Wow."
Yeah, I did see those comments. Well, I think they got a bozo for a coach.
Well, that's a guy that never says anything. Too.
They got some young players that probably need to mature a little bit. So there's all those factors at play. But as far as the Celtics go, when they get to the offseason, this problem is still going to be there for them if some of their guys don't develop into the players that they thought they might. Like, they're still going to have this issue and this gap on this team. Like, they're going to have to address it at some point. They don't have a big man. How are you going to fix it? You get to the end of the season, all your guys still here. How are you going to fix it? Like, this isn't going anywhere.
Taco and weight gain.
Taco, please.
Start eating taco.
Stop.
I mean, hopefully the playoffs will help you decide, okay, yeah. This guy's thriving in the playoffs. Like, he's done it all season, and he did it in the playoffs. But if a guy falls off in the playoffs, if a Jaylen Brown or a Gordon Hayward fall off in the playoffs and just disappear, maybe you can get rid of a guy like that. Then you can trade one of your top five at that point.
But
maybe.
Then you're trading low. You're also putting yourself in a disadvantage. Yeah, I mean, it feels like you're going to end up trading low.
See, they're going to be excited and say, okay, we got Kemba. Let's see him with the two young kids and Marcus Smart in the playoffs, and let's get these guys going.
Or the other thing could happen. Hayward could pop and really have a huge playoff run and then opt out and go somewhere else.
That could happen. Yeah. That would free up some
money. There's your money for your big play.
That would help.
Right.
Well, unless you need Hayward at that point.
Except his contributions will have been very valuable, and you're losing. And that's sort of how I feel about the deadline. Like, if you could do a deal where you have to trade Gordon Hayward, okay, you could get something back if another team is going to value Gordon Hayward. Something tells me they're not going to value him the way they should. And then you're saying, all right, but how much better did we get? I mean, at least at that position, you're saying there's a little bit of a redundancy there. There's a lot of talent there. But I don't know how much other teams value Gordon Hayward. If you're doing a deal, you think Gordon Hayward is the guy that anyone's calling about?
I mean, he's been really good the last month.
Yeah, last month. Yes.
Not really.
But is he a coveted guy right now by the rest of the league? No, they're going to call about Brown again. They're going to call about Tatum again. They're going to call about Marcus Smart. They're going to call about those guys. Those are the guys that other teams want. So I think that is why the Celtics are in a tough position. And I don't even mention Kemba because that's off limits. No one's going to even bother calling about that guy. Like, that's not going to happen.
No, hell no.
No. So they would be calling. Other teams look at the Celtics and say, okay, let me name the top three guys that I want to talk about a trade with you. Tatum, Brown, Smart. Like, those are the guys that other teams are going to be after.
You're going to want one of the young
kids.
You're going to want
one of the young kids. You want to trade any of the – forget the top five stuff, which we've heard. They don't want to move any of their top five. Let's really talk about those three. Do the Celtics want to move any of those three players?
No.
Do we want them to move any of those three players?
Not now.
No. Not at this moment in time. Not for a deadline deal.
Well, I asked this question yesterday. It was a complete hypothetical. There's no rumors that this guy's going to be traded at all. But looking at the worst records in the league, the glaring one is the Golden State team. Mm. Would they ever consider trading Draymond? Would you do like a Hayward for Draymond trade? If you were Ainge, would you do a Hayward for Draymond?
You need a little crazy.
That's completely fantasy land.
Yeah, I do it.
You're partial crazy and Marcus Smart. I think you get that type of guy in here too. As a defender.
Great.
Not a true big guy, but
that would excite you. That would excite
you. Crazy, and I can't stand Draymond.
You need crazy.
Hardy loves him. You got that Michigan State thing. Yeah, me, I can't stand him, but I do the deal. 617-779-0985. Do you know that there's someone out there who wants to sue the NFL over the halftime show on Sunday?
I wouldn't sue anybody over that show. I'd get rid of the middle guy, Bunny Man,
Bad Bunny,
Bad Big Bunny.
Big Bunny touch me.
That halftime show was so great, and this guy wants to sue the league. We'll tell you who he is. Coach Dave.
Coach Dave?
We'll tell you more about him next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
The intern even know who
we
this
couldn't
is.
Get a little Shakira, Shakira.
Hold on. You have no clue who this is.
It's kids.
Child.
He doesn't play second base for the Indians.
Excuse me? Oh, he's a baseball boy, right?
Baseball guy.
Lurch. Yeah. Him and Big Nate.
You guys do your little... Yeah. What is up, everyone?
So it's not Big Nate we're going to talk about.
No,
it's
no. Coach Dave.
Coach Dave?
Coach Dave.
I got to ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Why are we passing
first
salt?
First of all, this guy has a much better intro than Nate the intern.
Well, I agree.
What's up, everybody? Coach Dave is high energy. This story caught my eye. It's been circulating on social media. One Christian activist, Dave Dobenmeyer, on his podcast said that he plans to sue the National Football League because the halftime show, Hardy, threatens to prevent him from getting into the kingdom of heaven.
That was a little dirty.
Lebanese thing.
But the problem is, as I listened to the podcast, he said right off the top that he claims he didn't watch it.
Oh, well, let's listen to Coach Dave.
I think we ought to sue. I think we ought to sue. I said, what do you mean? I think we ought to sue. That's what I think. Hey, folks.
This is a good show, by the way. This is a good show.
Wait.
Hold on. He sounds like if Jay Glazer and Lifshitz had a baby. Like, this is what it would sound like. This is what their kid would sound like. Pass the salt.
I think we ought to sue.
Oh, why
That's
is
what I think.
Why do you think that, Dave?
Hey, folks.
Come on.
Were there any warnings before that Super Bowl halftime show?
Why, when he speaks, do you hear like whoosh?
Warnings? He wanted a warning? Whoosh. What kind of warning?
Because it's an internet show, though. Oh. That's why.
Yeah, it's not a real show.
Doesn't really sound that good.
Would that halftime show, would that have been rated PG?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I believe it would have.
It'd be PG. What is PG? PG-13?
Probably would have been rated G.
G is general audiences. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
What's PG mean?
Parental guidance suggested.
A little parental guidance.
Yeah, because we could turn a channel. Things get
you're
a little
the
nasty.
Dad. You're the parent there, Coach Dave. Offer some guidance, my man.
Were there any warnings that your 12-year-old young son, whose hormones are just getting ready, just starting to operate, was there any warning that he...
See, my 10-year-old knew it was inappropriate.
See, Zoe's 10-year-old is already having the hormones operate. That's why he's Googling things like pretty dancing lady.
Pretty girls dancing. Not like the Google, hey, hot babes and you know what's, but pretty girls dancing. It's like Pablo Sandoval. Like, that's his vision board.
Pretty lady. It's vision board.
Just starting to operate. Was there any warning that he, what he's going to see, might cause him to get sexually excited?
So I think we should sue.
So Dave knows his 12-year-old got sexually excited.
Yes. So we need to sue for the cleaning bill for his trousers. Yeah, I'm not putting that in the wash. Plus, caked, hardens. Sometimes you can't even get it out.
Why is this short standing up in a corner and they're not even on a hook?
Oh, amazing.
So I think we ought to go sit down in the courtroom and present this as evidence. And how the whoever is.
Who's the whoever?
Keeping me from getting into the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, here it is.
There it is.
So Dave wanted a warning. Has he ever heard of the word Shakira and what Shakira is or what Shakira does?
No, and it's not upon him to know that. It's on the NFL to warn him that what he's going to see is going to sexually arouse his 12-year-old son and keep him from getting into the kingdom of heaven.
When you eventually
they didn't do that, so he's going to sue.
When you eventually get into the kingdom of heaven, do you have none of these type of thoughts? Wouldn't you think you would want to see more of this in the kingdom of heaven?
What I think heaven should be. That's what heaven is supposed to be.
It was exciting. It was vibrant. It was entertaining.
Could I go into a courtroom and say, viewing what you put on that screen put me in danger of hellfire?
Hellfire?
Hellfire.
Like he's going to hell then.
So I didn't know it was that simple, that you could just be in the room, Shakira could put the goods on TV, and that's it. You're condemned to hell?
Yeah.
Could the court say, Roger, that doesn't apply here?
Yeah,
doesn't apply here because pornography, the right to porn overrides your right to watch it. Yeah, but you didn't tell me I was going to watch it. You just brought it into my living room. You didn't tell me. You didn't tell me there were going to be crotch shots.
Crotch shots.
Okay.
He's upset about crotch shots.
You weren't staring into anyone's birth canal. It wasn't that bad.
Let me just say that if this is what this guy thinks is porn, he's been watching the wrong porn.
Yeah. And even going back to last year, didn't Adam Levine have his shirt off for the entire performance, basically? So nobody was upset about that. But now all of a sudden everybody's upset that these girls were dancing.
All these guys are closet freaks. And I'm not saying that this guy's... I'm saying every single one of them, every one of these people who wants to sue the NFL or has to protect the eyes of the children, and this is going to send me to hell. I guarantee this guy is into so much freakier stuff than you and I could ever imagine. You want to talk about deviant. This guy is not only into it, but does it on a regular basis. I guarantee. What? Why else is he being so... He's trying to compensate for all the stuff that he's already into, this freak.
So, well, you should know better. You should know better because it's J-Lo and whoever that was. You should know she's an expert in crotch shots. You already know that. No, I protect my eyes. I didn't know that about her. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. That's why don't we sue? Is it not discriminatory?
Here we go. All right. He's been discriminated against.
Here we go.
For me to say, I love watching the NFL. I want to watch the Super Bowl. But I don't want to watch that.
To answer your question, no, that has nothing to do with discrimination. You have a complete misunderstanding of what that word means.
He fails to understand that.
Yes.
If they bring that into my house, is that not discriminatory?
It is correct. It is not discriminatory. Has nothing to do with discrimination, literally, figuratively, legally, none of it. I hope that answered your question.
Roger, what do you think? Is there a attorney out there say, huh?
Who's Roger?
Roger Goodell?
Roger's like from, and he's not in the same room. Roger's like on a phone line or, you know, internet, Skype chat.
Was that noise in the background again?
Roger is the gimpiest tied up in the corner.
He's a monk.
Yeah.
He's probably this hooded monk that stands in a corner.
That's discriminatory against the values I have in my house. You can't just do that.
Sure you can.
Roger's the 50-year-old man that he makes dress up like a Girl Scout and stand in the corner while he does his podcast.
Downstairs and let Roger pack up.
Wearing a snorkel and welding mask.
Get him out of the chest.
It gets him off as soon as they press stop on the old podcast.
Why don't they just turn off the TV if it offends them so much?
They won't even let you talk about on Facebook.
Ah, you can't even tell. You can't What's even that? Figure out what I it was know what he that said. Is. He
Tony Romo.
He was referring to homosexuals that you were not even allowed to basically talk about them on Facebook anymore.
I'm not calling Tony Romo.
He wants to talk about them. He wants to tell you about them.
Right.
I want to sue him.
Okay.
I want to sue him. I want to sue him for about $867 trillion.
There's your number.
Oh, that's the—is that him being condemned to hell?
No, that's the GIMP music.
Oh,
when the GIMP hears that,
Roger,
yeah,
put the red ball in his mouth.
That's a Roger music.
He knows it's time to get out the zip tie.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.